Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 48. In verse 1, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Pastor Stevens taught a message years and years ago called Beautiful for Situations. And he brought some beautiful points up in that really we do need to understand in order for us to be able to relate to God correctly. It's very easy for us not to relate to Him and still be believers. This happens pretty commonly, really. You have a believer living in their natural disposition. This is a believer, yes, indeed, they are a believer. They may very well be saved, but they don't know how to relate to Him. The relationship that they have with Him has never become a personal experience. It's only a positional truth. Nevertheless, it is a positional truth. They will go to heaven when they die. Everything that God has said applies to them. But how terrible it is to have all these things said by God and never to be able to experience them because a person is self-oriented. Now, God is indeed beautiful in your situations. He is present in every single one of them. Have you ever been in a circumstance that's difficult and you ask yourself, where are you, God? There are people who get there, but God is in your situation and He is beautiful in your situation. He is beautiful in your circumstance. Now, God is in you and you are in your situation, therefore God is in your situation. Sometimes God will put you into difficult circumstances so that God can be present in that circumstance. Sometimes people go into some difficult things, difficult places. Now, they see it perhaps as going through open doors, but things turn very hard for them. Maybe the people around them are very hostile or negative in some way, and it's a very unpleasant environment for them. And they cry out to God and they want out. And God doesn't let them out. Why? Because if you're in that circumstance, God is in that circumstance. If you're not in that circumstance, it's very possible that God will not be in that circumstance at all. If you are surrounded by difficult people, then God is in the midst of these difficult people. God has an opportunity to reveal His love. God has an opportunity to reach them. But if you're not there, then it may very well be that God is not there. Now, I understand God is everywhere present in 1 John 3:20. But often God wants to be present in such a way that you can touch Him. That's why He came to earth to begin with, so that He could be a Savior that you can touch, a Savior that can be touched by you. And so, He puts you in these circumstances so that He can be in these circumstances. On occasion, you'll hear about a missionary, and there's been a few of these, who go on the mission field. But they die on the mission field. And in some cases, fortunately not most, but some, they die even before they get to reach a single person for Christ. And you may be tempted to say, well, that was a waste. That person lost their life and they didn't even reach anybody. The purpose for their going was not realized. But that's not true. Sometimes God sends them so that He can draw others. It has happened more than once that a young missionary goes somewhere, gets killed there, and then others hear of it and then are drawn by God to the same place. So now you no longer have one, you have many. And it's all because God wanted to touch people. God is in your circumstances. And He's there because you are there. Never say to yourself that God has abandoned you. He lives inside of you. He can't abandon you. You're His house. So God doesn't abandon you. And if the situation is difficult, then the only reason why God has you there is because God wants to be there. And you are the means of His ability to do so. Don't define circumstances. Don't define them. People do it all the time. Don't do it. Don't define them as positive. Don't define them as negative. Don't define them. Define things in terms of God. So either there is something that is God's will, or there is not something that is God's will, but that does not make it into a positive or negative circumstance. That simply means that God's will brings you somewhere, and the circumstance will be what the circumstance is, and God will work it according to His will because you are there. A lot of people have trouble with this notion, and they get negative as a result. But you're a vessel of the Holy Spirit. You're not a representative of yourself. You're an ambassador of Christ, a vessel of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, who has the governing authority in your life through His grace in Hebrews 4:16, will take you where He wants you. Sometimes it's possible for people to say, nothing's going on here. But that's not a true statement either. It's more like nothing that you can discern is going on here. But how often do people watch our lives without saying a word? And sometimes they're even hostile in the process, but they watch our lives. And so in that situation, we have our relationship to Christ and we enjoy that relationship to Christ. We have fellowship with Him in that circumstance. Even if nobody else will join us in that, we have Christ, we can join Him in it. But they're watching. And if they know you are a believer, then you can be absolutely certain they are watching your life. That's why God sent you there. And you may say to yourself, nothing's going on here. But you can't see hearts. You don't know what actually impacts people. One of the greatest impacts in my life came through something very simple. Before I was saved, this is why I got saved. The person who did this had absolutely no idea. But the impact was that a man who was a Christian, laughed like a normal person. Now, he had no idea that would have an impact. I was personally turned off by Christians because I saw them as being phony and pretentious. And to be perfectly honest with you, if I were back among those same people, I'd probably still say the same thing. But then I found a Christian whose Christianity was real, whose faith was real, who wasn't pretending to have faith, and he wasn't pretending to be a Christian, and he wasn't pretending to be something he wasn't. And he revealed in a very normal laugh, like a man would laugh. Ordinary person. And that spoke to me. He had no idea. I don't think to this day has any idea, because I haven't actually seen him since, that laugh made a difference. He was sent into that circumstance, if for no other reason than to laugh. I got saved as a result of it. Now, in my time, I've won a number of people to Christ. I don't know how many, but a number of them. So they got saved as a result of it. Some of them I know, many I do not. I don't know what happened to their lives in many cases. I wonder how many people got saved because of them. Because a man laughed. Never define your circumstance by the way it makes you feel. Never define your circumstance by the way that it appears. That's not its definition. God sent you there. If He did not send you there, you wouldn't be there. God sent you there. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. God sent you there. So when God is in the circumstance, it's because you are in the circumstance. If God reveals love to someone, it's because you're revealing love to someone. If God is kind to somebody, it's because you are kind to somebody. If God is patient with a person, it's because you are patient with them. In many cases, you are the only Christ that people will see. And in some cases, it will be enough. But never define your situations according to the situation. Because God is beautiful in every situation. And that beauty is what people are looking for. In Song of Solomon 5:16, His mouth is most sweet. Yes, He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved and my friend. His mouth is most sweet. Basically, that saying in Isaiah 6:7 that no iniquity comes out of His mouth. His words impart life. His words edify. There's no negativity coming from His mouth. There's no criticism. There's no harshness. There's nothing of iniquity coming from Him. His words are life to us. This is my beloved. He is altogether lovely. He manifests the character of God. He manifests the love of God that draws people to Himself. And He's drawn me to Himself. This is my friend. Now, God is indeed the best friend you'll ever have. Sometimes people think that God will judge them or condemn them. They're afraid of Him. They don't understand Him. God is indeed the best friend that you will ever have. Because in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times. And God will love you at all times. Now, some people say, well, why do bad things happen? So that God can be in those bad things. There's your answer. So that God can love in those bad things. So that God can be merciful in those bad things. So God can reveal Himself to the people around you in those bad things. Years ago, there was a little girl, 5 years old. She was the daughter of a friend of mine. She developed stomach cancer. And the tumor became almost as big as she was. She was in the hospital. She was praising God, listening to Christian music, raising her little hands in the air to worship God at 5. And the doctors and the nurses were profoundly touched by this little girl. They saw Christ through a 5-year-old and the love that the 5-year-old had for God. Why was she in that circumstance as a 5-year-old? Because God knew that He could reveal His love through a 5-year-old in that circumstance. Now, eventually, the little girl did die. And somebody would say that's a terrible outcome. And indeed, for the parents and for the family and for everybody else, it was grievous and they did grieve, and that was right. But for her, it was not a terrible outcome. She never tasted death. She found God waiting for her with open arms. She went to heaven, and she would not come back if she had the option. Nobody ever wants to come back. She grew up in heaven. I don't know what she looks like, of course, but she's an adult now in heaven. And I know for sure that if you gave her the choice, would you like to have lived your life out on earth or in heaven? She'd say in heaven. So though we miss people like that, it's not a negative circumstance. It's only painful because we have to separate from them. But it's not actually a negative circumstance. This little girl at 5 years old revealed Christ in ways that many adults cannot. I used to love when one little kid would go soul winning with us. Because people would always take a track from her. They wouldn't take it from me, they wouldn't take it from the other adults, but they would take it from this little kid. And they would listen when this little kid talked. God spoke through a little kid. This little girl in the hospital, God spoke through a 5-year-old. Don't define your circumstances and don't define yourself. God is beautiful in circumstances and God is beautiful in you. So don't define things. Only God can define them. We get in trouble when we try to define things, but only God can define them. In Psalm 61:2, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. God's goal is for me to live beyond myself. The reason why sometimes I might find circumstances to be overwhelming or too difficult or beyond my ability is because I'm not living beyond myself. I'm living with only those resources that I possess in the natural man. But God doesn't want me living in the natural man. God wants me to live His life in Galatians 2:20. And that is not even related to the natural man. God gets rid of the natural man. And He replaces the natural man with Himself. I can't see that God is beautiful for situations if I'm going to live within myself. But if I live beyond myself, then I get to see the beauty of God. If I live beyond myself, then I get to see the promises of God fulfilled. If I live beyond myself, then I get to see the purpose of God and how it comes together with the situations that are around me and how His purposes are fulfilled. I can't do that in myself and I can't do that in my natural resources. I can only do that if I live beyond myself. God's goal is to get me to live beyond myself. Habakkuk 2:4 says, "Behold, the soul that is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." The soul that is lifted up is living within himself. He's living within his mind. He's living within his emotions, within his self-image, within his own consciousness, within his choices. But this person is not right with God. This person is living in the expression of pride. And he's living in the manifestation of iniquity. It seems perfectly natural, perfectly reasonable to the unsaved and to the carnal. Because after all, what else are we going to live by? We're going to live in our thoughts. We're going to live in our emotions. We're going to live in our identity. It always strikes me so strange and so useless when you see this often happens in sports. A reporter asking somebody, so how does this make you feel? Or how do you feel right now? How does he feel? You're asking me about his emotions? I don't care how he feels right now. It doesn't matter how he feels right now. Whether he had success or failure, what's the difference in how he feels? It doesn't define anything. It doesn't define his success and it doesn't define his failure. It defines nothing. It is simply the experience within a soul that is responding to a circumstance rather than responding to his mind. How does this make you feel? Who cares? I'm not worried about how it makes me feel. If I worried about how it makes me feel, I would be the most unstable person on the face of the planet, and everybody is like that. Instability comes when I live in those resources, and when I live in iniquity, usually I go to my emotions because the mind of truth is not functional in me. You live beyond yourself. You live beyond yourself. And by the way, when you live beyond yourself, that's when you feel good. It feels good to live beyond yourself. Because there's no good thing in me. So what's that going to make me feel like? You can never be your own resource. You must live beyond yourself. In 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. Now, Paul had good reason to say this. Paul had seen Christ. He was taught by him personally in the backside of the Arabian desert. Galatians addresses this. So he was taught personally one-on-one by Christ. He was taken to heaven in Lystra when he was stoned to death. He went to the third heaven. He saw God. He saw heaven. He saw many of the secrets of heaven. And he was not allowed to repeat them. A number of people have had similar experiences where they had near-death experiences and they saw things and God says, you're not allowed to say this on earth. So he had plenty of reason why he could be exalted in himself. But he says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. By the way, it's God's job to keep us humble, and we tend to fight that. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought God thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul learned how to live beyond himself. Now, he was given so much by God that he may have felt from time to time like he has enough resources in himself of himself. Now, even if a person has an enormous intake of the Word of God, enormous academic discipline to study the Word of God, enormous memory to recall the Word of God. But yet, in and of himself, he still possesses nothing. Because the Holy Spirit in John 16:13 must guide me in all truth in order for it to be truth. If the Holy Spirit is not guiding me, then it's not truth. It might be the letter of the law. It might be the letter of doctrine. It might be the letter of custom. But it's not truth. And it cannot be truth because Christ is the truth in John 14:6. So the Holy Spirit has to guide me in all truth. So even if I'm tremendously well equipped, I still have to live beyond myself. I still have to enter into this realm where I'm trusting the grace of God by faith, where I'm trusting the love of God by faith, where I'm trusting the promises of God by faith, where I'm trusting the character of God by faith. Otherwise, it's nothing. John 15:5 says, apart from Christ, I can do nothing. Now, I can have a whole lot of knowledge. I can have a whole lot of gifts. I can have a whole lot of resources. But still, without Him, I can do nothing. If I don't possess His love, I'm meaningless. Even though I may be educated, it's still meaningless. I can be skilled, and it's still meaningless. I can put together the best sermon on the face of the planet, but if I don't have love, it's meaningless. If I don't have the Holy Spirit guiding me in all truth, it's not truth. It might be good oratory, but it's not truth. We must live beyond ourselves. Why do people become wounded? Because they've lived within themselves. This is a very natural, normal thing to happen. But it's not God's provision. God's provision is to live beyond myself, because when I live beyond myself, nothing can touch me there. I'm seated above in heavenly places in Christ in Ephesians 2:6. What is going to touch me there? No one can lay any charge against God's elect in Romans chapter 8. What is going to touch me there? I've been crucified with Christ. I don't live. Christ lives. What is going to touch me there? We live beyond ourselves. That is our provision for living in this world, to live beyond ourselves. If I live in this world like this world, then I have the experience of this world. And since this world is utterly fallen, utterly corrupted, then my experience is a fallen experience that is utterly corrupted, even though I may be a believer. But if I live beyond myself, then I live in heavenly places at the right hand of God, in the fullness of God's promises, in the fullness of God's character, in the fullness of His love. Romans 5:8 says that in this place I've been made to be one with the love of God. What can touch me there? If I live beyond myself, I live in the ultimate provision and protection that exists on earth. Nothing can touch me there. People might be unkind, but God is kind. People might be rude, but God is gentle. People might reject you, but God calls you His beloved. People may say harsh things, but God is sweet. People might not be your friend, but God will never forsake you. He says He's the friend that loves at all times, albeit people may not love at all times. People may betray you, but God lives inside of you. What can touch you? We live in the reality what God has defined it to be. And that can become our experience. We just need to live beyond ourselves. If my soul is lifted up and I worry about how it made me feel or what my opinion is about it, then I'll never experience any form of victory because victory doesn't come from me. Live beyond yourselves. Don't go back. Don't let your soul cleave to the dust. Live beyond yourselves. Why are people miserable? Because they don't live beyond themselves. If I'm seated above in heavenly places at the right hand of God, then I'm seated in the ultimate place of grace at the right hand of love, in the strength of love. What's miserable about that? No wonder the fullness of joy is found in the presence of God. Because He loves you. Because He's your friend. Because He cannot forsake you. Because you're His beloved. Because you're one with Him in Ephesians 2:15 and 16. In your lives, do you consider your oneness with Christ in your dealings with people or how you navigate circumstances? Do you consider that you are one with Christ? Most people don't, but we need to. There's no victory found outside of that. The earth has been corrupted by the fall. You're not going to find your victory on the earth, but you're not of the earth. You're on the earth. You're not a citizen of this planet. You are from the New Jerusalem. Your feet might be here, but even now you can have your experience in heaven if you live beyond yourself. So many people with physical ailments, and some of them reveal the beauty of Christ in that situation because they live beyond themselves. I'll never forget my friend Tony. He died of cancer 25 years ago now. And Pastor Stevens went to visit Tony in the hospital. And he asked him, "Tony, how are you doing?" And Tony said, "I'm getting to know God in this situation." Tony learned the beauty of God in the midst of cancer. He learned to live beyond himself. I remember when he was in the hospice and the cancer had spread to his bones. And there was a young Bible college student who wanted to meet Tony because Tony was prayed for a lot and talked a lot about in our ministry. People loved him. And so I took that person to see Tony because he was a good friend of mine. We went to the hospice. Now, the day before that, I saw him, and Tony said to me, "Mike, I'm sorry I can't get up. It's much too painful," because bone cancer is very painful. I asked him, "How does it feel?" And he says, "Your bones are breaking from the inside." He said, "Take your hand, slam it in the car door, multiply it by 10. But when I took that young student to meet Tony, Tony got up and he extended his hand and he shook that student's hand. That person had no idea. I almost fell to the floor when I saw that. Because that was beautiful in this situation. The love that was revealed through a simple handshake to a person who had no idea what it took for that handshake to take place. That was beautiful in situations. Tony learned to live beyond the pain, to live beyond the cancer, to live beyond the negative circumstance. I visited him a little bit before that time, about a month or two prior to that, in the hospital. And he told me, doctors told me I was supposed to die 2 months ago. He said, but my family's not ready yet, so I'm not going anywhere. Tony lived beyond the cancer. The cancer had no control over him. The pain had no control over him. The sorrow of being separated from your family, that had no control over him. Tony simply saw God as beautiful. And God was beautiful and still is beautiful. That doesn't change. He experienced it because he lived beyond himself. We experience the beauty of God when we live beyond ourselves. This is how we have been made to live. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has set eternity in their heart, without which man cannot find out the work that God makes from beginning even to the end. When I live beyond myself, then God lets me see the purpose of what he is doing. And even though I may not see the outcome, I can see the purpose. God lets me think in terms of eternity rather than situation. That's the only way we can handle any situation, is to learn to think in eternity toward that situation. Because eternity is where reality lies, not the situation. So he gives us eternity in our frame of reference. And by doing so, he makes it beautiful. Everything becomes beautiful in his time. Why do we see God as being ugly? We don't say to ourselves that that's how we see him, but we do. We'll accuse him. God allowed this negative thing happen. Why did God allow that? So that he could be there. We see God as ugly. But that's a demonic deception to rob us from our real provisions. God is not ugly. God is beautiful in situations. You get a battle to fight, and God says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I will fight your battles. God is beautiful in those situations. You get people who speak evil of you, and God said, blessed are you when men revile you and say all manner of evil against you. For so they did the prophets. Great is your reward in heaven. God is beautiful in these situations. There's no situation where God is not beautiful. There's no situation where God is not kind or faithful or loving. He's beautiful. Oh, but these bad things, they're only revealing their need for God. That's all they're doing. And so God may send you to those bad things, those bad people, whatever that may be, because they're only revealing their need for God. And by sending you, God can be there. It's not that you're there. It's that He's there in you. So He can be beautiful through you and reveal His beauty to you. That's one of the amazing things about God, is He always reveals to you when He's revealing through you, whatever it might happen to be, whether it's mercy or grace, goodness or gentleness or patience or kindness. He always reveals to you as He reveals through you. Now that doesn't happen on its own. There was a blind man that Jesus healed. And He took some dirt and He spit in it and made mud. And He rubbed it in the man's eyes. And the man saw. Why? What was in the mud? Genesis 2:7 says, in the original language, that it was the blood. Out of the dust of to show blood, in the original meaning, in the original words, God created to show blood. And He breathed into His nostrils the breath of life, and He became a living soul. Without the finished work, without the blood, no one can see things as they actually are. Without seeing beyond yourself, you cannot see things as they actually are. The reality is, in Romans 8:28 and 29, that all things work together for good for this purpose, that we should be conformed to the image of His Son, so that we should be the manifestation of who Christ is in every situation. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen. This is what we see when we look beyond ourselves. In Titus 1:2, God cannot lie. His promises came before the world began. He cannot lie. This is what we see when we look beyond ourselves. How many people say, I believe God, but I don't get it. I don't understand. That's because you're trying to understand with the resources you possess. Try to understand with the resources He gives. And then you'll understand. In Matthew 17:20, assuredly I tell you, Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, the idea of a mustard seed has been much debated and discussed. And in the times of Palestine in Jesus' day, it's not talking about the mustard we know today. It's really talking about black mustard, not yellow mustard, a much smaller seed than yellow mustard. But what it's really talking about is the fact that it's a living seed. A living seed has the ability to draw resources that are provided for it. It draws nutrients from the soil, water, and it takes what it needs and it grows. These are the nutrients that God gives us. He gives us His word. He gives us His love. He gives us His promises. And they cause us to grow. We are that mustard seed. When we have those things, we start to live beyond ourselves. The resources are not within the mustard seed. If the mustard seed were to only use the resources that are within it, then it would die quickly. But it uses the resources that are outside of it, beyond it, that God provides for it, and then it grows. We do the same thing. We draw near to the love of God. We draw near to the Word of God. We draw near to the mercy of God. We draw near to grace. We draw near to forgiveness. We draw near to His compassion. We draw near to the truth of what He says. We draw near to His promises, and we grow. And we grow beyond ourselves. We grow to heavenly places in Christ. We grow into the one new man that Christ has made us to be, so that He can be in the situations that He puts us in. He really is beautiful. And He's beautiful in every circumstance, in every life, in every day. He is beautiful. If you don't see it, maybe you're not looking. Because you're not looking beyond yourself. But He really is beautiful. In John 15:7, keep yourself in the love of God and keep the Word of God in your frame of reference. And then anything you ask will be done for you. Then in verse 5, you'll bear much fruit. Then you'll see God as He actually is. And what you'll see is that He's beautiful in situations. Amen?
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive You as my Savior. Thank You for loving me so much that You died for me so I can have eternal life with You. Amen."